In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today, my beloved, is the fifth Sunday of the month of Hatur. And as we're probably accustomed during the fifth Sundays, fifth week of every Coptic month is the month of blessing. Typically, what is read is the Gospel of Blessing, the feeding of the five loaves and two fish. But this Sunday happens to also be the 29th of the Coptic month, where we celebrate the three major feasts of the Lord, the Annunciation, Resurrection, and the Nativity. This is why you'll find the readings of today, they follow the 29th of Baram Hat, which are the readings of the Annunciation. And seeing that we're going to read this reading in another 2 weeks, we'll comment on this reading in 2 weeks, God willing. But today, this morning, we'll finish our series about rendering honor to those whom honor is due. We spoke in the last couple of weeks about what is honor and who is due our honor. And we spoke about the value of rendering honor to others. And then last week we spoke about the consequences when we do not honor and or show dishonor. And today we'll speak briefly about some practical ways on how we can honor one another. The first way in which we can honor one another, and we'll try to go through these, you know, somewhat quickly, is to be punctual. To be punctual. Punctual means to be on time. In the St. Paul's letter, he says, walk in wisdom according to those who are outside, or towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. So saying here, don't waste time. So being on time helps us not to waste time. It also, when we're punctual and on time, it shows people that we respect them and their other appointments and their time. And it shows them also that we value our time together when we're punctual. For example, when we come to church on time, it shows God that I respect your place and the time we have together, so I come on time. If I'm having like a wedding ceremony, and I'm hosting one, and you tell the people, okay, the wedding's at 2 o'clock and you come at 3 or 3:30, then this is showing dishonor to your guests because you're coming so much later than what was announced. St. John Cassian, he says, a disciplined life respects order and time, for in them God has placed wisdom. So being on time is a way we can show honor to one another. Also, respecting boundaries is a way we honor others as well. For example, children, when our parents give us a curfew or a time for us to return home, and we cross that curfew boldly and we say, I don't care what you say, I'm going to come home when I want to come home. This doesn't honor your parents. Actually, this shows dishonor when I cross them. Or when they have certain rules in the house and say, okay, there are no cell phones upstairs, for example, or in your rooms. And when I sneak after they go to sleep and I sneak and I get my cell phone and bring it into my room. When I do these things, it shows dishonor to my parents and it's something that's not pleasing to God. Or with my peers, when my colleagues, when they tell me no for something, a request or something, I need to honor that no and respect it. I don't need to pester them and bug them and annoy them until I get what I want. This doesn't show honor, but actually this shows dishonor to them. Maybe if I'm a grandparent, and I have my children have their own children, and they set boundaries for themselves in their home. For example, there's a certain limit to how much sweets their kids can have. And me as a teta or giddu or grandparent, I go and I spoil them and I give them whatever they want. So they go around their parents, they come to teta and giddu, and then teta and giddu give them what they want. When I do this, I don't honor my children, and I don't honor the order that they have set and their homes. Or when our children tell their children they have a certain limit of screen time, or they're not permitted to watch these kind of shows. But when they go to Teta and Giddu's house, it's a free-for-all, right? This again doesn't show honor to my children and what they ordered in their home. The Lord Jesus, He honored everyone that He met, and He honored their boundaries. If you remember the story of the rich young ruler, when he asked him, what is it that I can do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord told him, to honor your parents and the commandments. And he said, I've done these from my youth. And he said, okay, we go, sell what you have, give to the poor, and take up the cross and follow me. What happened? It said the Lord loved him, but the man, what, he turned around, was sorrowful, and he went away because he had many possessions. The Lord respected his no, even though he knew that his no would save him and be good for him, but he respected that. The lost son, the prodigal son, when he asked for his inheritance, and the father gave it to him, and he let him go, he accepted his decision, but also, of course, came with it the repercussions of those decisions. And as much as it saddened the father, he allowed him. Respecting others' boundaries shows them honor. Also, acknowledging others shows them honor. There's a growing trend among the young ones now is that when they pass each other, they don't greet each other. And when they pass their parents, they don't greet them. When they pass Abuna, they don't greet them. When they pass even each other in places that is unfamiliar, they don't greet them. But acknowledging others shows you honor them. Greeting them, recognizing, saying, hi, how are you? It's good to see you. Or giving them just a simple smile. Or making eye contact. The Lord Jesus, again, acknowledged all those or many of those who were marginalized. And he would make a point to go out of his way to recognize them. Do you remember the story of the woman with the issue of blood who didn't want to trouble him but just wanted in faith some of his power to grant her healing? So what does she do? She comes behind him and touches the hem of his garment. And he could have just let her go and healed her, but he wanted to acknowledge her, to show her that she is valued. And he turned around and said, who touched me? And he blessed her and said, because of your faith, you will be healed. And she was healed. Do you remember a man who was climbing up into a sycamore tree that never met the Lord Jesus before? Right? And the Lord Jesus acknowledged him, the one maybe who everybody hated in the town. But he looked to him and said, Zacchaeus, come down. And he acknowledged him. Why? Because he honors everyone. When we acknowledge one another, we show them that they're valuable and we honor them. Parents, we need to teach our children to greet everyone, to greet you. If your children come home and they don't say hello, this is something you need to teach them. This is on you. When they come in and they greet you and they don't greet the other parents or they don't greet their siblings, tell them, go say hello to everyone in the house. You teach them to honor everybody whom they are around. It's not simply like, oh, okay, well, it's just a waste of time. It's not a waste of time. What kind of relationship can we expect with those that we do not acknowledge? Can we really expect a good, deep relationship if we don't acknowledge them? And how is it that we can evangelize and share the love of Christ with the world if we can't even begin the conversation by saying hello or smiling or asking how someone's doing? We can't. The Lord told us, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know you are my disciples if you love one another. How can we share this love if I can't even say hello or greet them? Acknowledging others shows we honor them. Putting others first shows them that we honor them. St. Paul teaches us, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. So esteem, hold others more highly than yourself. We honor others by showing preference to their needs before my own. We honor them. Allowing others to go before us is a way of honoring. So if we're serving, or there's a dinner to be had, and to allow others to go first, it shows them honor. The younger should allow the older to go first, this shows them honor. To be quite honest, when I was preparing this sermon, I said to myself, this is something I really shouldn't have to teach or have to say. You know, because maybe 20, 30 years ago, a lot of this stuff was common. But I feel like, no, it needs to be reminded nowadays. Allowing others to go first shows them honor. If you remember in the story of Job, right? He had four friends. Three friends were kind of, they gave him a hard time. They wanted to comfort, but they really hurt him. But there was a fourth friend. His name was what? Remember? Who was Job's fourth friend? Elihu, right? And Elihu, it says that he was actually the youngest one. And he respected all the other opinions, although they were wrong and they were not comforting Job, but he respected them and allowed them to go first. And he says, I waited for your words, I listened to your reasonings. And then he spoke. He spoke last, being the youngest. Meaning what? That even though what was being said was wrong, but because he honored them as being older, he allowed them to speak first. Opening the door for someone, allowing them to go in, shows them honor. Allowing others to be served, again, before yourself, is showing them honor. St. Basil says, to prefer others is to mirror the love of God in our hearts. To prefer others is to mirror the love of God in our hearts. Also, the practice of cleanliness and order is a way we show honor. You might say, what do you mean cleanliness? Actually, when we have, you know, people invited to our house, or Abuna's coming to our house, we make sure things are in order, right? Why? Because when I invite guests to my house and they find the place is clean and in order, this shows that I honor you as a guest. And this was told for me, and I visited Egypt many times, but I'm not 100% sure, but I'm sure this is probably the case, given the culture. But they say, yes, right? Whenever he goes visits anywhere in Egypt, somehow the area where he's going to visit seems to be in perfect order, right? And, you know, there can be like trash on the streets, but if Arayas is coming down the street today, everything is cleaned. And as soon as he leaves, they might pick up all the flowers and everything, and everything goes back to normal, right? So this is probably the case. Why? Because they honor him. So they make the place clean and acceptable. We show our honor to God when we make the house of God something that's presentable and fit for his glory. This shows that we honor him. Why do we think we say, okay, when we don't have the kids running and around the church and making noise? It's not because we want to, you know, suppress the kids. We want to teach them to honor the place that they're in. This is the house of God. It has its honor, it has its reverence. And when we do this, we teach them this. We're not mean to them. We're not loving them when we tell them to show this discipline and order. No, but it's a teaching. You'll find in the Old Testament, God was very particular in how he ordered the tabernacle. And how it was ordered and how it was beautied, but also how it was the upkeeping. He had the whole tribe of Levi that was set to keep in order the tabernacle. Because he valued design and order and cleanliness. St. Anthony says, a cluttered life leads to a cluttered heart, but order brings peace. Where there is order, things are predictable and things bring honor to the place. Also, expressing gratitude to others shows them that we honor them. St. Paul teaches, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Simply saying thank you is a way that we show honor to others. And we mentioned this before. And we mentioned before also when the Lord Christ cleansed the lepers and the Samaritan came back to say thank you, he honored him in coming back to say thank you. And it wasn't that the others didn't appreciate it, because they certainly could appreciate it because now they're made well. But what it showed was the one who returned not only just wanted the Lord because of the healing, but he wanted to go back and show honor to him and say thank you. Right? So this shows that he honored the Lord God. Simply saying thank you. Also, speaking honorably honors others. And St. Paul, he says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. We use words that build each other up and not that tear each other down. It's unfortunate, but it's common that many people will use hurtful words, but in the form of joking. So they'll joke about someone, but they'll make it seem as a joke, but in essence, it's something to hurt them. Look what Solomon tells us in Proverbs. He says, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. So the one who does this, who jokes and makes these like insults in a joking way, it's like a madman throwing firebrands and even death deceiving those whom he's quote-unquote joking about. Can we honor someone when we do this to them? Do we show them honor when we do this to them? Certainly not. We ought to bless my beloved, not curse. How else can we show honor in our speech is by using titles. When I was growing up, it was proper that we would call each other, and this was not in our Egyptian culture, this was in the American culture. If there was an adult, you called them ma'am and sir. Nowadays, kids call people by their first name, an adult by their first name. We shouldn't allow this in our house. If your children call you by their first name, you tell them, no, call me mom or dad, but don't call me by my first name. It's not like, okay, I can be their friend and be their... You don't teach them how to honor this way. And when they greet somebody else, an adult, you make sure they use their title. Use ma'am or sir or tant or uncle in our culture, but you address them in a way that is honorable. We need to teach this to them. Those we honor, we cannot slander nor gossip about. This doesn't bring them honor. Do you remember the story of Balaam and the donkey, the talking donkey from the Old Testament? It's in Numbers 22. But real quick, Balaam was a prophet, but he wasn't a very good prophet. And there was the king of Moab, and he wanted like a blessing, so he asked Balaam, and he was going to give him money, and Balaam wanted to, so he went to God, and God said, no, don't curse Israel, but bless Israel. And he kept going, but he wanted the money, so he kept, you know, pestering God. And finally God said, fine. So then as he's going to meet the king of Moab, you know, the story is the donkey's walking and he sets the angel of God in front of the donkey. So the donkey moves and the angel moves until they get to a place where there's a wall on the left and the right and the donkey's right in the middle, so there's nowhere for the donkey to go. And Balaam is very upset because he's not moving, so then he strikes the donkey. And the donkey turns around, and what does he say? God granted the donkey the gift to speak. So the donkey says, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? And I want you to compare the responses between Balaam, the human, and the donkey that's speaking. Balaam says, because you have abused me, I wish there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you. Because you're abusing me, because you're not taking me where I am. He doesn't see the angel. And then how does the donkey... If somebody said this to you, what would you say? Let's see what the donkey would say. The donkey says, am I not your donkey on which you have ridden? Ever since I became yours to this day, was I ever deposed to do this to you? And then Balaam, perhaps with his head down, said no. So he responded in such a respectful way. He says, all these years you've ridden me and I've never done this kind of thing to you. There must be something different. And right after he said this, Balaam's eyes were open and he saw the angel in front of him. My beloved, when a person loses his humanity, this image of God in him, he becomes worse than animals. He becomes worse than animals. Do you remember in the story of the rich man and Lazarus? Right? And in the beginning, you know, the rich man wouldn't give Lazarus anything. He had sores on his foot. The Bible tells us that there was another animal in the story. It was a dog, right? What happens with the dog? It said the dog licked the sores of Lazarus. This wasn't mentioned just haphazardly. But it showed that the animal had compassion on Lazarus more than the rich man. And then you look at how the tides turn in the story. And when they both depart, the rich man asks Abraham to send Lazarus to put water on what? On his tongue. Not on his forehead, not on his back, but on his tongue. The tongue of the dog that showed mercy to Lazarus. Now he wants that same tongue of his, wants to be comforted by a little water. When we lose our humanity, we become worse than animals. Saint Ephrem the Syrian says, a tongue that blesses brings healing, but a tongue that curses invites strife. Also, listening attentively shows others we honor them. Saint James says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. Listening attentively to others shows them we honor their thoughts and we honor their opinion. Many times God listened to us as humans, you know, in times where we were complaining. And we were arguing with him, and he listens patiently. If you read the story, the book of Job, it's like 40 chapters, and 29 of those chapters was about the dealings between Job complaining to God and expressing his frustration and his friends between the dialogue. So most of the chapter is this dialogue of complaining and frustration. But God allowed him to speak, and he heard him patiently because, again, he valued him and he honored him. Abraham, when he was negotiating for Sodom and Gomorrah, he kept going back and forth with God. God knew the end. He could have told him, Habibi, I know the end. There's not less than 10. This is where we're going. Let's move on with the story. But he allows him to go from 50 to 40 to 30 and so on because he honors him. He gives them, you know, his ear to listen. As a father, I come home and I'm tired from work and somebody wants to speak with me. And I said, leave me alone. I don't want to talk to you. I'm tired. I don't want to talk to anybody. And you go in your room, you get on the computer, and you shut the door, and then you go to sleep. Does this show we honor them? It doesn't show we honor them. Second to last, obedience. When we obey, we show honor. And we've spoken to this many times before about obeying our parents and the Lord. So obeying our parents, obeying elders, obeying authorities, and so on, reflects that we honor them. If you'll notice, the Lord Jesus, in his life, we don't hear much. We only hear the nativity story when he was an infant. Then there's one incident when he was 12 years old, when he was in the temple, and he was lost, like, and his parents lost him in the temple, and then when he began his ministry. But in this incident, when he was in the temple, it shows us how he submitted himself to his parents and he obeyed them. It says what, then they went down to them, and they came to Nazareth, and he, the Lord Jesus, was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. What things? The things in which how the Lord Jesus, the creator of the universe, was subject to Saint Mary and Saint Joseph. Through obedience. Lastly, serving others shows others we honor them. When we give the place of honor to our elders and provide for their needs and treating them with dignity, when we serve others, we show them that we honor them. We give them the place of honor. If I'm sitting down and somebody older comes into the room and there are no seats for them to sit, I should get up for the person who's older so they can sit down, not continue to sit down. If I'm in a train and I'm sitting down and somebody comes in who's elder, I should get up for them. Even if I don't know them, they're a stranger, but I should get up for them to allow them to rest. This shows them honor. And again, we have nothing, we don't know anything about them. But it's the mere fact that they're human and they're God's creation and they're God's son or daughter. That's why they deserve our honor and our reverence. Do you remember the story of Ruth, who honored her mother-in-law, Naomi? She had every right to leave and stay home because she wasn't bound anymore. She wasn't married to her son. Nor was she was a Moabite. She wasn't an Israelite. But because she honored Naomi and she loved her, she traveled with her back to her land, leaving her family and her land and her religion and everything behind. She honored her and she served her. St. John Chrysostom tells us service to others is the highest form of respect to God's image in them. These are the way we honor them, honor people. But there's one warning that I want to leave with you. And this warning is flattery. You know flattery? Flattery is like an insincere or manipulative way of honoring somebody. I don't know the Arabic word for it, but it's like, you know, we are trying to puff somebody up and praise them. وقولوا كلام حلو عشان كده boost his ego في الآخر عشان أخذ حاجة. So I can take something in the end. I want to benefit from them. For example, I go and I, you know, compliment the professor excessively and tell him how great they are. And then behind their back, I'm talking bad about them with my fellow colleagues, but I'm only doing this, why? So he can give me a good grade. Or I go and tell my boss at work how wonderful they are and how we couldn't do anything without them. Why? Because they hold my raise in their hand. Right? That's it. Flattery is insincere and manipulative, and it undermines genuine honor and respect. There was a time when the Pharisees wanted to flatter the Lord Jesus. They were asking him about whether they should pay taxes to Caesar. And what do they say? They said, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth, nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men." All of these words are just fluff words to flatter him. Why? So when he hears all the praise, he will just agree with whatever they say. And then what's the dagger? "Tell us therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" If he gave in to the flattering, he said, "Yeah, you're right. Yeah, everything is good. What you say is correct." But he didn't fall for it because he understood what they were trying to do. They were just flattering him. So let's beware to flatter someone, to compliment people excessively. This is a form of a lying, and that needs our repentance and needs to be confessed. Let us strive, my beloved, to honor all those who are around us, those whom honor is due. And when we do so, we can remember what the Lord said, "And as much as you did it to the one of the least of my brethren, you did it to me." When we honor the least of the brethren, as if we honor the Lord himself. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.